anticipation for Resurrection Sunday. Turkey hunters. I know youth Saturday was yesterday. You make preparation. You practice with them calls, or somebody that can call them up, you take them with you and let them call them and you shoot them. That's probably the way Holden will do it. Instead of having to do both of it at one time, he'd get somebody to help him. But you make preparation. Do we make preparation for Resurrection Sunday? I hope and pray that we have. I hope we've been praying, wanting to be revived. Our revival coming up starting next weekend, but it can start today. It needs to start today in our heart. We need to be revived, and we need to be praying for revival. We need to be revived this morning thinking about resurrection, thinking about what Jesus did and how he fulfilled all the promises of all the prophets from the time of Genesis all the way through all the prophets that spoke of his coming through the exile as they were in Babylonian captivity and all the things that they went through Daniel and Jeremiah and all the prophets as they spoke and as they were there in exile because of disobedience, that God was going to send a Savior to bring back His people. And I thank God this morning that not only can He bring back His people, but He also came to us Gentiles. Unless you're born here of the Jewish race, then you're a Gentile. And that's who Jesus went to when His people rejected Him. He gave us salvation just like He did for His people, that He shed His blood for you just like He did for them. The difference is that we've accepted Him. They've made up tales about Him in the Jewish faith and they've caused people to doubt. But I'm thankful that He saw another people, that He saw us as Gentiles and saved us as well and shed His blood that we could be saved also, not excluded, but included through the blood of Christ. In chapter 24, we see the first day of the week as we see them go to the sepulcher here to see what is taking place and to prepare the ointments for and spices for His burial, to prepare the body, because they didn't have embalmers as we have today. They didn't have the funeral directors like we have today to do all that work for us as we do today. They had to go do those things, and they were wondering amongst themselves, who is going to roll away for us the stone? Well, I'm thankful that that question was answered by God Himself when He sent His angels down to roll back the stone that morning to let man in to see that Jesus was risen. He didn't have to. Jesus could have stepped out upon there and rolled the stone back Himself. Jesus could have ascended through the rocks and never have had to have an open tomb that He could get out. But I'm thankful that He opened it that we could get in to see that He was no longer there. There's not a pile of bones laying there like they are for other religions. I'm thankful that my Savior rose, and it ain't like things that happen today. Miracles that we think takes place when people flatline for a couple of minutes and we think all hope is gone and then the heartbeat comes back. It's not like that. Jesus was gone for 3 days, but He was busy that whole 3 days preaching to the ones that died in faith, believing that He was coming to go to that cross of Calvary, that He was down there preaching, I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. I'm the one that the prophet spoke about. I'm the one that you died in faith believing that was going to come and go to the cross of Calvary. I am God's shed lamb that was without spot or blemish, who had no sin in Him and no guile found in Him. But I went to the cross of Calvary for you and shed my blood that you can have salvation. I've placed it upon the mercy seat that you can be redeemed. He told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say in a little while, if they prayed you out, if you do good enough between now and then, that you're going to be there. He said today, because he had faith believing. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's something the Jewish people couldn't accept. Another kingdom that was coming. That's what wrong couldn't accept. This man Jesus speaking of His kingdom that was yet to come. They were in fear because they were a great and mighty power. But here come Jesus along talking about His kingdom and the kingdom of heaven being at hand. And they couldn't receive that because their ears were dull of hearing. Their eyes were blinded to the Messiah coming in the way that He did. But Jesus died that we might have salvation. And let me tell you, He don't force it on you. He gives you a chance to accept His perfectness. He gives you a chance to say, Jesus, come and be my Savior. He don't force anything upon you. He don't make you do anything that you don't want to do. He gives you a free choice that you can choose to love Him. He already chose to love you. But will we choose to love Him this morning? It says, now upon the day of the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Some people have, well, why are we getting up before the sun does and get to church for watch the sun rise over the hill and to worship that? No, my friend, that's not what it's about that sunrise. It's about the sun rising, thank God, that we come to church very early in the morning on Resurrection Day, that we come to celebrate what they went through that morning, that we have the same hope that they went to and found that morning. We have it looking back that we can look to an empty tomb and know that He's no longer there, that He's seated at the right hand of the Father, that He's making intercession for a lost and dying world, and that He saved us and set us free and made us different than the rest of the world. It's hard on your throat this morning. That's all right. He didn't say it'd always be easy. And they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, there are many today are trying to find where Jesus was. I'm thankful they can't find Him. Not in the ground, not in a hole in the earth, not on the cross of Calvary. He's already been there, done that, and left that part. Went to the resurrection. I'm glad that the cross made it possible that He could resurrect. I'm glad the cross made it possible that He could shed His blood. And before the hammer struck the nail, His blood touched the cross for me and for you this morning. He will save you if you'll just surrender to Him. What a joyous time that we have, knowing what joy they should have. But they were full of fear because they didn't understand. They didn't have what we have. They don't have the New Testament that we've read and studied to go back and see. They were living it in the actual times, and they didn't understand. Where have they taken Him? Somebody stole His body away. They've hid Him from us, full of all kinds of doubts and concerns and worries because they didn't understand. Sometimes I'm filled with concerns and doubts and worries because I don't understand. I don't understand why God leaves us in a world that's getting so far away from Him sometimes. I don't understand how He can let it go on any longer. And then we hear bursts of little babies coming into the world, and it's God's way of saying it's time for time to continue on. He has the time. It's not my time when He's going to return and get us, but it's very shortly coming to pass that He's going to call us and call us home to be with Him. But they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. I'm glad that He had already risen, that He had already left the bonds of this earth and was going to place His blood upon the mercy seat to come back in a little while to be handled of them, to be fed of them, the broiled fish and the honeycomb, to prove to them that He was flesh and blood, because spirit has no need for food, but the body does. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. Now, I'll tell you, that'd get my attention. Amen. If we're standing there and we know the party that came, and all of a sudden there's two guys beside us in white shining garments, it'd get your attention. I think sometimes we need a few guys in white garments, and not the ones with that take us off to the padded rooms, but those sent down from heaven that would get our attention, that we would see Jesus and know that He's real. Because sometimes we ain't walking by our faith. We're walking by what we can see. We need to see some things before we believe. And God told us so. He said, blessed are those that believe that have not seen. We need to believe what Jesus can do. We need to trust Him. If we want to see miracles happen, just trust Him. If we want to see lives change, just trust Him. If we want to see America turned around, just trust Him. He can do it. He can do it. He surrendered all that we might know salvation and that we might be free. America can be free from her bondage to sin, but we have to repent and we have to let Jesus lead us. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Today there's still people seeking the living among the dead. They'll go to cemeteries and look for ghosts and things. Let me tell you, ain't no ghosts left out here in this cemetery. Thank God, the only thing out there is some bodies that was laid aside, and the spirit done gone to be with God in heaven. And let me tell you, there ain't nothing going to separate us from His love. If we're in His hand and we're His child, we're not going to hang around down here to see what's going on. Hey, boy, talking about zombies in the zombie apocalypse. I've seen a few walking around. But let me tell you, them things ain't real. That's made up of Hollywood and people believing this stuff. They're getting prepared for it. Doomsday preppers and all this. I'm prepared for doomsday. Thank God I'm going home. Amen. I'm going home. I don't have to worry about it. Don't have to make all these bunkers with all this stuff and fortify myself. And I'm not going to worry about it. God's going to take care of it. I done made my doomsday preparation. I said, Jesus be my Savior. He said, I believe I will. If you just trust me and put your faith and trust in me and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, I'll just be your Savior then. I said, it sounded like a good deal. And trusted Jesus to be my Savior. It's that simple. You say, oh, you're making it too simple, preacher. No, it's simple. Amen. Faith, believing that Jesus come and died at the cross of Calvary that you might be saved. That's all it takes. Believe and confession that you believe and trust Him. Amen. That's all it takes. But why seek ye the living among the dead? There's still people today seeking the living among the dead. They make shows about it. Celebrity ghost stories. All this stuff's on TV. I see them as I'm flipping through. I don't stop and watch them. There's enough nonsense on there as it is without stopping and watching. More reality shows than you can shake a stick at, and ain't no reality to them. If people actually act like that, they all be ashamed of themselves. Some of them ought to be locked away. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how they spake unto you, how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They were reminding them, jogging their memory. Sometimes that's why we preach the same sermon over and over and over again. When we get it right, then God will let us quit preaching it. And we'll be able to go on. But he's jogging their memory. He said, don't you remember? Jesus told you this was going to happen. Do you remember? That's why God gave us his word, that we won't make the same mistakes over and over and over again. We have history to go back and study. That's why it's great to study history, that you know the mistakes that was made so you don't make them in the future. But we still go back and make the same mistakes as the children of Israel did, as the pagan people did that was around about them, worshiping false gods. We're still making those bad choices and we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Well, let me tell you, for America in general, don't be surprised at harvest time for the seeds that we've sown and are sowing. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. They went to tell the story. They said, hey, we got something to tell you. We went down yonder to the sepulcher where Jesus is supposed to be, and he's not there. He's gone. He's risen. There's two men in there reminded us of what Jesus said. Are we still telling the story today? Do you think it was supposed to stop with them, the story that Jesus is risen? No, my friend. It becomes your responsibility now to share it with the lost and dying world that Jesus is risen, that he's on the right hand of the Father, that he's still pleading their cause and their case before him, that he knows what they've been through, that he can answer prayers, perform miracles, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, remove the cancer, touch the hearts, and mend those stopped up vessels, and to take a stony heart that's full of sin and make it soft and mellow and new again. That's what kind of God we serve this morning. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to be to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Today we're still telling the same story that these ladies shared with the 11. And to them it seemed as idle tales. And today still people are believing idle tales. They're trying to prove it. And every year at Easter, they bring up this gospel of Judas. And they bring up anything they can to try to discount the story of Christ. But let me tell you, it's not just a story. It was a life. And he's still alive. We got history to prove it. We got future, it proves it. We got now, the present, that still proves that he's alive. But they believed it as seemed as idle tales. Let me tell you, there's nothing idle about Christ. And there should be nothing idle about his people. We should be busy. Like little worker ants. You ever seen a colony of ants? You don't see any that's just standing around doing nothing. If you do, most of the time they're lunch. They all work together. They're all busy. They're all doing something. Christian people, we need to be like a colony of ants. We need to be moving. We need to be working. We need to be doing what God's instructed us to do. The ants, they know by their instincts what to do for their colony. Christians, by the Holy Spirit and God's Word, we can know what to do for the colony of God, for His people, for the bride, for our family, that we can work together for the betterment of each other, that we can raise each other up and lift each other up in the power of Christ and through His love. And their words seem to be to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. Why, as Christians, do we still believe not all of God's Word? We only believe what's sweet to our ears. That's hard to us to swallow, we don't want anything to do with. We just want the easy parts. Friend, we got to take it all. We have to take, it's like taking your medication. A lot of it, you've got to take the whole regimen to get the benefit. That's the way of God's Word. You've got to take it all to get its full benefit. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Wondering. This Peter, who said, Christ, I ought to die, I'll go with you even unto death. And Jesus said, Peter, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. Peter, no, I ain't going to do that. I done seen too much, been through too much. I'm with you, Jesus, to the end. That's kind of the way we feel when we're at church. Oh, we're right there with you, preacher. We're right in there with you. We're praying. But we get out in the world, and then we become Peter. I'm just too tired to pray. I'm just too tired to worry about anybody else. I got my own worries. I got my own troubles. I ain't got time for nobody else. But if we'll take a little time to care about someone else, guess what? Somebody will care about you. Somebody will help you pray for your burdens. Somebody will help you with your load that you're carrying. But you just need to surrender it to God. He'll send somebody along that'll help you. You don't have to carry it alone. You take time to pray for somebody else, guess what? Somebody's praying for you. It all works together. And children, as children of God, we all work together. And behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. That's kind of like two old friends going down the road. Can you believe it? You know, 3 days ago, Christ was on the cross, and He was dying. We was all down and out, and we was worried, and all these things. And now they say He's gone, and the tomb's empty, and I remember what He said, but can you believe it? Excuse me. It said, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Boy, ain't it good? Ain't it good whenever you're walking along and all of a sudden you realize Jesus is right there with you? Guess what? You just realize that He's always been there with you. You just got to the point in your life where you could, hey, well, there He is. Because you started looking for Him. And He was there. Guess what? He's always there. Whether you're looking or not. He's walking right beside you. Most of the time He's walking in front of you saying, follow Me. Follow Me. So when we take our eyes off Him, we get in trouble. Just as Peter, when they were in the boat, Jesus come walking on the water. Peter said, Jesus, if it's You, bid me come to Thee. Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat. The other 11 didn't. They're like, He's crazy. He's crazy. He's getting out of the boat. This thing's afloat and we're in a storm. But we're better than being out there in the water. And He's standing there. I can just see it now. A big clap of thunder maybe roared and the wind blowed and the water sprang up. And Peter took his eyes off Christ. And when he did, he began to sink. And he cried out. And Jesus lifted him up. Sometimes we have to step out of the boat and get in the water. When we take our eyes off Christ, we start to sink and we call on Him. We depend on Him. And He'll lift us up. And He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Jesus knew what they was talking about. He knew it all. He said, what about this that you're talking about and you're sad? When I think about Him, what He went through, as we was talking about this morning on the way up here, when we think about what He had to go through, it does sadden our hearts. But when we think of the victory that He gave us when He rose from the grave, it should put joy there. He lives. Amen. Let's act like it. Let's talk like it. Let's live like it. He lives today. Amen. You live today. Will you call on His power to live today? We live defeated lives because of us. Jesus has the victory. We sang the song in the red book, page number 120, Victory in Jesus. But do we have it? Do we have victory? Do we live victorious? Are we sad in our communication? Oh, it's just so bad here. Oh, the government's doing this, and the church is doing that, and they look down on me because I don't have what they got. I got it all. I got the keys to a mansion in heaven. If that ain't enough to make you shout, we don't have to have no appraisals. We don't have to refinance that thing. It's already been took care of. We got a clear title. There's no taxes. There's no government except God. And the government and how it should be. And to bow in His throne room as His subjects. And it says in Revelation, as a crystal sea before the throne of God. Boy, I can't imagine. I can just try to, but I'm in a carnal body and I still can't fathom all of what heaven is. But guess what? I got a body waiting on me that not only can fathom what it is, it's going to be able to live there in the presence of God, bowed down before Him, singing His praises, singing a song in the presence of the angels that they can't sing because they're created beings to serve God. We were given a choice to love God. And I'm thankful that He loved us first. And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said, Man, where have you been? Ain't you heard the story? Ain't you been down to the barbershop and heard the gossip? You ain't been to the parts place and heard what's going on? This man Jesus, who taught for 3.5 years, they crucified Him 3 days ago, and He was buried, and He's not there today. Are you a stranger? Where have you been? What rock have you been under? I knowed you'd get it eventually. Because He didn't see Him for who He was. And their eyes had been holding that they couldn't tell that it was Jesus. And they said unto them, and He said unto them, and they said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and the other rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been that which we have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. Alive. Not dead, but alive. They saw Him die on the cross of Calvary. They heard Him say to His Father, Into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And He gave up the ghost, and He died. They saw it happen. But I'm thankful that I didn't lay eyes on it, but I know it happened. Amen. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, that it happened and He's alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. He didn't just give them idle words. He just didn't give them hearsay. He gave them the scripture. What did He do when Satan tempted Him? He gave Him the scripture. He gave Him the word. Let me tell you, when people are doubting about Jesus, if you know the Word, you can tell them the Word and it will accomplish that God has intended for it to do. But you have to know it to be able to share it. Just as Jesus knowed it, because He was the Word, and the Word became flesh And the Word walked among men, but the world comprehended Him not. Didn't understand His Word. Didn't understand His light. Didn't understand how the drawing power of this man to pull people to Him. Didn't understand that at this name Jesus. Now Jesus was a very common name in Jesus' day, because many of the Jewish women prayed their son would be the Messiah, so they were all naming their sons Jesus. But the difference was they were all conceived in sin just like you and I were. But Jesus was a holy child, and it made Him different. And God had told them through the angel speaking to them that His name would be Jesus, that He would be the Messiah, that Mary would give birth to this great and mighty Savior. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. Sounds kind of familiar to what He'd done just a few days before. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. But He opened their eyes that they might can see. He opens our eyes that we might can see. Gives us spiritual eyes that we can see the things of God and be able to understand them. But not all things are we given the knowledge of why. Not all things are we given the wisdom of God about, because we're not at the point where we can accept it. That we're ready to be able to take on that responsibility. Because once you know God's Word, it becomes your responsibility to live God's Word. And we're not going to plead ignorance in His face. "Well, God, I didn't know." Why didn't you know? You had every opportunity to know. Why didn't you go to church? Why didn't you study my Word? You know, it's important that we bring our Bibles to church with us. Amen. It's important that we open them at home. Amen. Now, we're not just carry it Christians. We don't just carry it to church and carry it back home. That we open it and read it. That we take time that it can get a hold of our heart and make us different. Because God's Word will change you. God's love will change you. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way? And while He opened to us the Scriptures?" They said, "Didn't we know? Didn't you just have that feeling?" You ever met somebody and you didn't know they were saved or not, but you had a feeling they were? Because your spirits are communing. You ever had that experience? It's powerful. It's powerful when the spirits are talking to one another and you know that that person is a child of God just like you are. And let you know. It's just powerful. They said, "Didn't your heart burn when he was talking? Didn't you know there was something there about that man?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Boy, that's a beautiful statement. He said it many times. But when he entered in, he said, "Peace be unto you." No doubt, if he walked through just appeared here in the sanctuary, he should be here with us. You should have brought him with you. But if all of a sudden Jesus was standing here in a white raiment in our presence, I'd hope he'd speak, "Peace be unto you." Because I'd be a little taken aback to start with. That just don't happen every day. He said, "Peace be unto you." And he's still saying peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And he wants to bring peace to our troubled world. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for I spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now I don't know about you, but I can't wait till the day that I can see his hands and his feet. To see those nail scars that he took for you and for me. To see his pierced side, that they thrust the spear in to bring about death, that his bones might not be broken. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. that not a bone of him would be broken. But they pierced his side, and from his side came both blood and water. It's amazing when we look at the story of Jesus. And we look at his life and the example that he set. Behold my hands and my feet. And when he had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And friend, if you say the Bible's too hard for me to understand, preacher, I just don't get nothing out of it. You just keep on reading. Because let me tell you, God will open your eyes. When you get to the point where you don't just read it for a book, and you read it to be God's holy word. When you read it to be alive and understand it and believe it so, God will open to you the understanding of His precious word that you can share with others the love of Jesus. And said to them, It is written, and thus it is behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a glorious sight to see. Your Savior standing there before you, talking to you, and all of a sudden he starts ascending in the clouds to go to the Father. And let me tell you, he went that way and he's coming back again. And one of these days the trumpet's going to sound and he's going to step out and get his children and call us home to be with him. And all this suffering and things that we go through is all going to be over with, and we're going to be with Jesus forevermore. Nevermore have to suffer. He never once again has to go to the cross of Calvary. Don't put him back there every day. Don't re-crucify him. He doesn't have to go back. One time was sufficient. Just believe him and trust in him. Repent from your ways and turn from them and follow in the footsteps of God. And they worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. There was something there that changed their life that day. They were continually in the synagogue. They were continually in the temple. They were continually praising and worshiping God for that they seen. Let me tell you, we're looking back with eyes of faith, knowing that it took place, waiting for the day and the future events to come. And the next thing is God's clock ticks. We'll be calling the children home and the rapture of the church and calling us out. What a great day that's going to be. A resurrection of all of us to be resurrected out of this world into the land of the living. Leave the land of the dying and go where we'll never have to part again. I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me excited. The think that we're going to leave here, and whether by the way of the grave or the way of the rapture, I'm going home to be with Jesus. And I pray you are this morning. What we're celebrating today, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, is just a little part of what God has in store for us. It's the most important part, but He has more in His Word as we read and study and see the things that we don't have to go through because of His love. Jesus loves you this morning. He died for you and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, that you could be saved. As we've read about His resurrection this morning, just one of the stories in the four Gospels, and they all tell the same story, just a little bit different points of view because of different aspects and walks in their lives and time spent there. And some give a little more detail, some a little less, but they're all basically the very same story about Jesus resurrecting from the grave. There's one part in one of them. One of the Gospels tell that the Jewish people, the ones that were watching by, they got so afraid that they just stood there as dead men. And after they come to themselves, they went back to the Jewish, to the leaders there and said, Look, said, this has happened and this has happened. An earthquake happened and a stone rolled back and he's gone. And we just couldn't do nothing. We just stood there dumbfounded and they've taken, and he's gone. They said, listen here, said, we're going to conspire together and we're going to give you much money. We want you to make up a story and say they come and took him. Make up some kind of lie and you all swear to it and we'll take care of you. And it's still being told about to the Jews today. that this took place, that somebody stole the body of Jesus, that he didn't resurrect, that they this was a conspiracy, and they done all these things. You got to take more faith to believe that, and it does just believe Jesus came, was born of a virgin, went to the cross of Calvary, went to a virgin tomb, went and preached to them there in captivity and rose again. That's pretty simple to believe and just trust. But I'm a little bit different. My eyes have been opened, so it makes it easy for me to see. Friend, he wants to open your eyes to see the same thing that all Christian people can see. Jesus loves you. Just it's a simple little kid song. Sometimes we think, oh, that's a kid song. I don't need to sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Let me tell you, that's a beautiful song because I was a little one and I still am. But thank God he loved me and he saved me. Friend, he wants to do the same for you this morning. As they prepare a song of invitation this morning, Jesus loves you. That's why he rose on the third day. He knew the salvation plan that God had intended for the world. He knew that he would be the sacrifice. We see movies and stuff, and we've been watching the miniseries, The Bible. They're showing Jesus there having flashes to the future and what was going to take place. I don't think he had flashes to see it. I think he knew what was going to take place. He knew the time that he was going to be betrayed. He knew the time he would go to the cross of Calvary. He knew all these things that were approaching. They still went. But still yet he had that body of flesh. And when he went to the garden, he said, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But just in true Jesus fashion, he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. All the time he spoke of the Father and his will and not his own. And his will for you is the Father's will, that you would be saved. This morning you have to surrender to him. He's done all the work. You reap all the benefits. It's a wonderful deal. A wonderful deal. But you just have to surrender to Jesus. Today when we get a job, we look at the benefit package. We want to know what we're going to get paid. We want to know what vacation time we're going to get. We want to know what insurance we're going to have. Well, Jesus said, if you trust me, I've got a mansion waiting for you. That's what we all want, ain't it? We all want a mansion. I don't know why. Most of them so big, you got to hire help to clean them. In heaven, we won't have to worry about it. Ain't no dirt. Ain't no dirt there in heaven, you see. No dirt in heaven. That's just, that'll make the ladies shout right there. Don't have to vacuum. Men, you can't track mud in the house. And if you do, it won't matter. That's right. There's not going to be any contaminants there. He says, I've got an assurance that if you believe me, you've got a home hereafter. But you've got life. Free from pain. Free from sin. And he says, I'm going to give you the cattle on a thousand hills because I own them. They're all mine. And if you're a child of mine, they're all yours. Can't beat that package deal. Jesus said, if you'll just trust me. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Salvation's that close this morning, my friend. If you'll just surrender to Jesus. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.